Here they come. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wasn't that worship awesome, guys? Anybody sense the presence of the Holy Spirit in the room today? Yeah. If you're new with us, my name is Will Harper. I'm the pastor of this campus along with my wife, Melissa. And we have a special treat for you today. We have Mike Pruitt is coming back from his missions trip to Kenya. So let's hear it for Mike. Come on, guys. You realize that some of the things that we've seen happening in our congregation as far as how many of you love it when the Holy Spirit pours himself on us? When we see ministry happen and healings happen and things like that happen. How many of you know that doesn't happen on accident? Right? As we sow, we grow as a campus. And it's the same God in Kenya as it is here. And if he's doing it in Kenya, he wants to do it here too. Amen? And so we sow, and because we sow, we grow. Right? And so if you're here today, I've got a special treat for you. If you're here today, I promise you, today is a for such a time as this moment for you. It's a for such a time as this moment for you. How many of you are anointed? All of you. Raise your hands. All of you. How many of you are anointed? All of you are anointed. All of you. If the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of you because you believe in Jesus, you have and operate in an anointing. Amen? And so we've been talking about the gift of belonging. Everybody turn around, look at the wall. You belong here. Where you belong, you have the gift of belonging. You're a gift to the church, and the church is a gift to you. And all of us have gifts differing according to what God has called us to do. So as I plant that idea in your mind, what we have done in the church a lot of times is throw away old things, but just because they were old things. So today we're not going to have a sermon. We're going to have a testimony. You guys remember testimony? Any old timers in here remember testimony? Right? There's the solid truth of the Word of God, and then there's listening to people's testimony about how the Word of God worked. And it's the objective and the subjective coming together across the face of the planet. We have to share testimony. Amen? So with that in mind, I'd like to call Mike and Carrie Pruitt to the stage. Let's welcome Mike and Carrie Pruitt. So what we'll do, why don't you guys just introduce yourself and say what you do, how you belong here, and then take it away.
I'm Carrie Pruitt. I am part of the hospitality team, and we have been attending Victory Life since we opened the doors. So we love it here.
And I am Mike Pruitt, and I said for the first time I got a flight cancellation in Nairobi, Kenya, so I got to spend some time with some UNICEF people, and they asked me what I did. And I said for the first time, I'm a missionary. And it sounded weird coming out of my mouth, but I'm so thankful for what God has been doing. And so I'm thankful for each and every one of you all because you have helped make it happen.
Yes. Yeah. That's it.
So I have to apologize at the very start because I'm still on Kenyan time. So my body is slowly adjusting back. I said the flight got canceled in Nairobi, and so it was a 31-hour journey coming back, and got back late Friday night and stayed with some friends in Dallas because I said, I can't help you driving back. I would be out like a light. And so we stayed with some friends, and I got back. We got back yesterday at about 1 o'clock. But I'm so thankful for this opportunity to talk with you. God is just so good. If we can just truly absorb that and believe it, open up our hearts to that truth, open up our hearts to how much He uniquely loves us individually. Just absorb that and accept it. His love has changed my life. So we're here today to talk about His love and how this church body and belonging to this church body and serving through this church body has changed our life.
Yeah. Yeah, we're not, 4 years ago, we would not have been on this stage. We weren't the same people 4 years ago. He has transformed us. Because of Him, who He is, but also because we have great pastors and a great lead team. Yeah.
4 years ago when we came to Victory Life Stillwater, Carrie mentioned it, we were different people. Well, we were the same, but different. We were extremely broken. We have gone through some of the most difficult times of our life. And we had no idea how to move forward because it felt like the floor had been pulled out, the rug had been pulled out from under us. And I hate to say it, but it felt like there wasn't any hope, even though we knew there's always hope. But it felt like there was no hope.
Yeah. 4 years ago, before we moved to Stillwater, we were attending the Sherman campus. And we were in and out. We didn't talk to anybody. We didn't connect. We weren't part of a group. We made excuses. Oh, we live so far away. But we felt like we belonged. And after we came to Stillwater, it was a Sunday morning, and there was a visitor. A woman from Chandler came, and she gave a word. Samuel, mourning Saul. And can I just say, this was a fresh revelation for me yesterday. Samuel wasn't mourning Saul's death. Saul was still alive. Samuel was mourning because Saul was no longer going to be king, and Samuel wanted him to be king. Samuel's mourning his circumstance because he didn't get what he wanted. And so he mourned for a long time, like 17 years. We didn't mourn that long, but we mourned for a long time. But the Lord told Samuel, get up. Stop. Stop the mourning. Get up. I have work for you to do. And it was like a gut punch for Mike and I. Because we knew that we were living in our circumstance, but we didn't know how to get out, which is so, we knew Jesus. But we immediately started serving after. We took that word serious because we knew it was for us and we have the fear of the Lord. And so we immediately started serving in hospitality and getting plugged in, and wherever we could help, we would help. And we know 100% that that was the turning point in our life. Because once we started serving, we were no longer sitting in our circumstance. We were no longer inward focused on our hurts and everything else. And doors started opening. Whoever is trusted with little can be trusted with much. And again, I'm so thankful for our pastors and our lead team that see giftings in us and encourage us to grow.
Yeah, I'd like to read Romans 12. This wasn't given to the production team, so don't scramble. It wasn't on my notes. But Romans 12, starting at verse 1, it's the Message version. But it says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. So it wasn't long after, I don't remember exactly when we started serving in hospitality, but it wasn't long, it was sometime in 2021. We moved here full-time in July 2021, so it was sometime after that. But in August 2021, Sandra Murphy, who's a missionary in Honduras that I had met, she reached out to me over Messenger. And she said, I don't know why you've been put on my heart, and God's been telling me to reach out to you, but I haven't done it. So I was scared of looking weird, because I hadn't talked to them in 10 years. I was on a mission trip with them in Honduras in 2021. We were, her and her husband Jim, we were participants on the same mission team, and just met each other there and just connected on Facebook. And there wasn't really any other communication past that time other than seeing what each other was doing on Facebook. So she reached out and she goes, I don't know why God's telling me to reach out to you. And I've been telling him no, but I'm going to be faithful for what he's telling me to do. And she didn't know, I've always had a burning in my heart for missions. Even since I was a little kid, God has placed it there. And that call from her reignited that flame in my heart. And so I started praying about it and seeking God. And he prompted me to contact Sierra Weiss, who's our missions pastor overall of Victory Life. And that's how the Honduras mission trips came about for Victory Life. Only God orchestrates things like that. But we have to follow his promptings. We have to be bold. We have to recognize the Holy Spirit's always working. He says he's working for our welfare, not our calamity. But we have to be connected to the vine. So I believe I connected with Sierra January 2022. And we planned our first kind of, what did we call it?
Scouting trip.
Scouting trip. I always forget that word. Scouting trip for May 22, so Sierra could see what it was about and see if it was a good fit for Victory Life. The enemy was not happy. with what was going on. As I was reconnecting with the passion, with the calling that God had put on my life. And so in March 2022, I was diagnosed with eye cancer. And I like to say diagnosed. Because I did not have cancer. They diagnosed me with cancer. Because my God is not a God of sicknesses and disease. I had surgery the next month. They said it was very aggressive, and they didn't want to delay any time. And I said, well, I have a mission trip planned in May. I'm not missing that mission trip. And they said, you should be fine. And I'm like, I know I'll be fine. And that's not to say, in the beginning, fear. The enemy tried. He tried to get me to be fearful and anxious. I Googled and saw, oh, this doesn't look good. And the thoughts were, I need to start planning for Carrie and for Lilia. What's going to happen if I'm not around? But God shut that down. He put all of his promises in front of my face. And I started quoting those. And his peace pushed out the fear. And I tell you, I don't know where I am out of my notes.
It's a common theme around here.
But I stand before you today. My surgeon just told me a few months ago, he said this was the greatest outcome I could have ever imagined. He said, the cancer is gone. And I'm like, yeah? And he said, most people lose their eye. I didn't lose my eye. And he goes, you haven't lost any sight in your eye. I'm like, yeah. So we get to Honduras on that first trip. I don't know, we usually arrive on a Friday. I think that's probably what happened. And so it was that first Sunday. We were on the way to church in Honduras, and Jim was driving, the missionary in Honduras, and he looks at me and he said, you know why the enemy attacked your eye, don't you? And I said, no. And he said, well, the enemy will attack what's the most intimidating to him. And he said, the enemy is intimidated by the vision you have for missions. And I was like, wow. And we got to church. The pastor was speaking in Spanish. They had a translator. And he started talking about Acts 27 and Acts 28. When Paul was on his way to Rome to meet with Caesar, he was a prisoner. There was a shipwreck. He swam to the island of Malta. And once he got to the island, he was gathering wood. And many of you, I'm sure, remember the story. But a snake came out of the fire and latched onto his hand. And many thought he was the cause of that. Oh, he must be a murderer. He must have done something in his life to cause that to happen. But what did Paul do? He just shook it off. Come on. How many times in our life have we taken on something that has happened, some situation that has come our way, some sickness, and we've taken it on that God is punishing us in some way? Or we did something to cause this? No, we have an active enemy at work who's trying to divert our path. He's trying his best to deceive us and to lie to us. And so when that happens, like I thought, why did I get diagnosed with cancer? Why am I going through this? Did I invite this in? Those thoughts were going through my mind too. But no, just shake it on and off and keep going for what God has called you to do. John 16:33. I think I did give this one to you all. But in this world, you will have trouble. But I have overcome the world. We're going to have difficulty. We're going to go through trials. God doesn't do that to us. It's part of this world. It's part of the fallen world. But he has overcome anything that comes our way. With God, all things are possible. I think you're up now.
So we're going to fast forward to February 2023. Jim and Sandra invited us to Kenya to meet a Facebook friend that Sandra had made several years before they were in the same prayer group. And Sandra was so impressed with Mama Beatrice because she would literally ask for prayer for things and never once asked for something physical. And Sandra had always had the dream of going to Africa one day, from the video of We Are the World, for those back in the 80s. Mike Scobie is the only one. So Mike, Lily, and I went to Kenya, and we met the family. And the main goal was to create a relationship and scout things out, if you will, to see if they were who they said they were. You know, it's easy to say things on Facebook, as we all know, but how much of those are true? You know, are they people of character? And so it was determined on that trip. We have pictures of the old house and the new house. It was determined on that trip that Jim and a crew would build a new house for Mama Beatrice and the kids, because the kids, they didn't all have a bed. Some were sleeping on the dirt floor without a mattress. Some had covers, some didn't. Some had a pillow, some didn't. And so the new house would have enough beds for everybody, enough mattresses. It would have indoor plumbing, because they currently had an outhouse and showered out of a bucket.
Which was not good for malaria.
Right.
The place in Kenya that we go is one of the highest concentrations of malaria in mm-hmm. the world. That might not encourage you guys to go one day, but
we take medicine for it.
Yeah, but the outhouses did not help with the mosquitoes and malaria.
Yeah.
And actually, before we had gone in January, mm-hmm. two children had died in the fall of 2022. Right. And they died from pneumonia. Things that they should not be dying from.
Right.
Sicknesses that they shouldn't be experiencing.
Right. And when we were there the first trip, somebody had sown for them to get a deep water well, because their current well at the time was a shallow well, and it would dry up and it was dirty. The water was not clean. And so we got to see the groundbreaking of the well being dug. And they did hit water, but they did not finish it while we were there. But now they have clean water, and nobody has died since then. So, yeah, praise God, because that is a big deal.
And as God does things exceedingly abundantly, more than we could ask or hope for, we've gotten the water's been tested from the deep water well. And the testing facility tested it the initial time, and they tested it two more times because they didn't believe it. They didn't think the tests were working. They said, this is the cleanest water we've seen.
Yeah, and we've actually eaten there both times with the clean water, and we have not gotten sick. So
I've eaten with them for the past 2 weeks, and I am perfectly healthy. So,
yeah. We believe that God is opening doors for us and connecting us with people because we're connected. We're connected to the vine. He's connecting us with other people who are connected to the vine, but also because we're connected here. As Pastor Will was saying, it's about sowing, and it's about being connected. So Mike, Darren, and Chastity went to Kenya in February. No, March and April. And Darren,
last year.
And Darren and a whole crew of Kenyans and Jim and Perlin Pruitt had help building the house. Darren, you should have had that picture of his leg cut up. But we didn't send it. It was funny.
Do you have the picture of the original house?
So that is Mama Beatrice's house with the old well next to it. And that's where all the kids slept with her.
That was a, it's a mud home.
Yeah.
To where they just take twigs, branches, or limbs, and make the structure for the house. And then they start slinging mud to create the walls, which is like an insulation. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of housing that most people live in.
Yeah.
It only lasts, as you can imagine, a finite amount of time before termites eat it up and the mud starts washing away from the rains. Mm-hmm. And that's what was happening with this house. But that was the home that Mama Beatrice's late husband, Samson, built for her. And he passed away in 2020. And so you can imagine how special that home was to her, and how you would be tempted to hold on to it.
I would be.
Because it was a part of somebody really special to her. So when we started talking about building the new home, we're like, there's no place to put it other than where your home currently stands. Are you okay if we tear that home down? And she said, absolutely. I am ready for God movement in my life. I'm ready for whatever he has for me.
Yeah. Kingdom vision. Yeah.
So this is the new home. It is built like no other in the area.
It's true.
People from all over the region were coming over to look at it. Mm-hmm. They said they'd never seen anything like it. I call the roof the Darren Castle roof, because that's where he spent almost all of his time. I don't think that's how he envisioned, but he's like a monkey. He can climb over anything, and I get up there and I'm like, In fact, they are joking, I fell from one of the higher points, and luckily I didn't go all the way down. I instinct grabbed something really fast and cut my leg up pretty good. So that's where they call me Perlin Pruitt. I have a picture with the kids laughing at me.
Yeah, the boys thought it was really funny.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
I stepped on the Perlin. I stepped on the wrong end of that Perlin, and it wasn't attached, so I went. But they all thought it was funny.
Yeah. Thanks, Darren, for finding that picture.
Wow, that was quick.
It was quick. So this past February 2024, we took our first team to Kenya, and that was super exciting.
First ministry team.
First ministry team, yeah. And the goal was to do Bible studies with the family, VBSs with the kids, revivals for the people in the area, because Simon, Mama Beatrice's son, who has stepped into late Samson's shoes, felt it wasn't safe for us to be walking out in the community, and I'm thankful for that. But one of the biggest goals was to teach them that they're not powerless. Jesus hears their prayers just like he hears ours, that they walk in the same authority that we have. Pastor Will said it. It's the same God that we serve here is the same over there. And some of you probably remember the story. It was a Sunday after church, after worship, and this man walked in carrying a little brown bag, and he had 3 eggs. And he was drunk.
This was in Kenya.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm still in Kenya.
There's a picture of him.
Yeah. And he set one of the eggs on the altar, and he sat in the chair. He cracked one of the eggs and drank it.
Raw.
And he kept the third egg. For him to place that egg on the altar as his offering when he needed it for nourishment spoke volumes to us and what we take for granted and what God purposes in people's heart and how easy it is for us to judge.
And you bring back the verse that we said, if you're faithful with little, God will entrust you with much. Think of how he was being faithful with those eggs.
Right.
That God had given him means that was a lot to him. And then...
So we prayed over him for Jesus to do what he does, to transform him from within. And... we felt the presence. We felt the presence. And so after we were done praying with them, we didn't get a chance to follow up. And so, you know, all of us were wondering, gosh, I wonder what happened to him. And so Mike found out on this trip that he was delivered. He was set free from alcoholism. Yeah. He now has a job. He's supporting his family. And he has not touched alcohol since that day. Yeah. Yeah. The other picture I have is the picture of Evans. That picture was taken 2 weeks ago on the 14th. And I was supposed to give transition that day. And I had the message. And I know that the Lord gives me the message. But I was so discouraged that morning. I was like, oh, it's not the right one. I just don't feel it. And Mike sent me this picture of Douglas on the right, Edward, Simon's brother, on the left, and Evans in the middle. And he said that Evans accepted Jesus and was delivered from alcoholism as well. Yeah. And as soon as I got that picture, the Lord said, this is it. This is it. I felt him like I have never felt him before. And my body was just covered in goosebumps. If you were here on that Sunday, you saw the ministry that happened after I gave that transition. It was not me. It was my obedience. And that's what happens when you're walking in your anointing. But that's the same God. He was serving the Lord in the morning, which was our night before, and our morning, his afternoon, we're serving the same God here. And what he was doing in Kenya, he's doing here. So good. God's so faithful.
So I have a video that I'd like played for you guys. It goes pretty quick. So I just want you to see this video. That was kind of quick for the, I didn't give them too much of a prep time. So that's my Kenyan family. They are part of me. They're a part of my heart. I cannot explain the bond that God has knitted in my heart with them. When I'm here, I'm missing them. When I'm there, I'm missing you all. It's an interesting dilemma. But I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for all God has done. And it's nothing special within us.
Right.
It's just a result of obedience and serving and belonging and trusting our God to do what he does best.
Yeah.
Transform.
Yeah.
Through serving, I didn't intend for any of it to come back to me. That wasn't any part of my mind. But he's healed me from those difficult times that we came to Victory Life not knowing what to do. He's healed those as only he can do as a result of following him and no longer following my circumstances.
Right. Yeah, I hope you're hearing this isn't what Mike and Carrie are doing. This is what God is doing. And all of this originated because we stopped sitting in our circumstance. That's it. We chose to get up just like Samuel did, because God had work for us. And he changed our perspective. We carry a yes in our heart for really anything he asks us to do. If I'm at Walmart, he asked me to pray for somebody. Okay, I will. And I'm not even on the prayer ministry, y'all. Like, really. We want to see lives transformed because it's exciting. Because we know what he did for us. And we want that for every other person that we meet. It's so freeing to carry a yes. It is so freeing to be out of the circumstance. It is just amazing where he's going to plug you in once you carry that yes.
Yeah, so I wasn't really sure about if it was me calling me back to Kenya this month or if it was God calling to Kenya, because my heart always wants to see him, always wants to be with them. But God confirmed that, no, you're supposed to go. I'm a planner. I'm a scheduler. And he told me, don't make any plans. Don't schedule anything. Just live life with them. Just understand their struggles. Just build the relationship. That was out of the box for me. But wow, I get over there. He had all kinds of plans. And he showed off. I can only imagine what he has in store. I'm very excited to to see what he has in store. Isaiah 55:8, the Message version, says, I don't think the way you think. The way you work isn't the way I work. Aren't we glad that his way is greater than our way? Aren't we glad that when we step aside and we get out of his way, that's when he can come in and do his incredible things? When we step aside. I heard it might have come from Pastor Will. I've been quoting him a lot lately. I'm so thankful for him. But we are our greatest problem. Yeah. On this trip, remember, I didn't have any plans. I saw people receive their healing. I saw people connect with Jesus and receive their salvation. I saw relationships restored. I saw people delivered from addictions. And they were transformed by Jesus. I saw new ministries. There's a picture of this, of the school. I saw new ministries unfold within schools. I was invited to share Jesus to this high school, and I thought it was going to be two classes. It was the whole school. 700 plus students. They had a microphone set up. They brought in a worship leader. It was like a crusade at the high school. And I couldn't count all the hands when I asked who was ready to accept Jesus and open their heart. I asked Simon, I said, my contact, I said, do you have any idea how many people accepted Christ? Not that it's about the numbers, but I was just curious. And he said, Mike, I think there were at least 300 people who accepted Christ. I didn't have any plans. I wasn't seeking that. God provided it. And the administration wants us to come back and bring teams, wants our teams to minister to their students. He's open to Bibles being distributed throughout the school. Come on. We brought 8 Bibles with us for them to put in their library. And when we presented them, the whole crowd of kids just gasp because they desire a Bible so badly. So I cannot wait for God to provide that. God is so good. And this is available to each and every one of us. It's nothing about us other than obedience and following his lead.
Yeah, I think I keep saying it because I know we all have hurts. I know a lot of us have broken relationships. I know we all have a past. But God's desire is to heal that. He is our healer, as I said earlier. He longs to heal us in that so we can be whole for his glory. And so our mind can be shifted to kingdom vision.
Yeah, the enemy wants us to buy in to his lies and his deceit. And like us, many of you have bought into that. But it's when we got to a point when we heard that word. All right. And you may be surprised that the difficulty we were going through, it's still there. We just chose to lay it at the feet of Jesus. We chose not to focus on that circumstance any longer. We chose that our Lord is greater. He's going to take care of it in his time. And we're going to trust him with it. And we're going to leave it at his feet and not pick it up. And we are going to do the work he has called us to. And so only then was there the freedom to not be chained anymore. It reminds me of, we're going longer then. It reminds me of, this is a quick story, but it reminds me of a podcast I was watching from Pastor Lee. And he said, do you know how they catch a monkey in Africa? And I just confirmed this is a true story. They take like a coconut and they tie the coconut to a tree, and they put a shiny thing inside of it to get the monkey's attention. And the monkey goes and puts their hand inside of that, and they won't let go of it because they don't want anybody else to have it, and they think that is the biggest treasure. But when they do that, his hand's not glued to it. He just won't let go of it. And when he does that, he's limited to the rope that's tying him to the tree. If he let go of it, he would have freedom. But he won't let go of it because the shiny thing is so attractive. How many of us are going through life holding on to a shiny thing? And it's chaining us when all we have to do is let go of it. Place it at the feet of Jesus. And then we have freedom. We experienced it. This is what he's calling us for. This is what he's calling us to do. So, what's next? I think he's calling you all to let go of what's holding you back. I think he's calling you to be all in. Start serving. Start truly serving our Lord. You belong here. Start getting involved in missions. You know I had to plug it. I'm excited about the opportunities that are coming about this year in missions. There's going to be a new program in Oklahoma City through, I think it's a homeless, I won't quote that, but it's in Oklahoma City through All Victory Life. We should get involved. We're the closest campus. Chandler and us, closest campus. I'm excited about that. And I'm also very excited. It's going to be formally announced in Jubilee, but I got the okay to say it today. But we have two trips through Victory Life to Kenya this coming year. Come on. So start preparing. You may think, there's no way. Nope, he's our way maker. He will make a way.
Yeah. You pray.
Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, thank you for who you are, that you are the transforming God, Father. Lord, heal our hearts, Father. Restore our hearts to how you created them to be, Father. Pure and undamaged, Lord Jesus. We just thank you so much for the church, Father. We thank you for our campus. We thank you for our pastor and our leaders, Lord Jesus, that they continually point us back to you, Father, that they encourage us to grow, encourage us to seek you, Father, and encourage us to serve you. We thank you so much for who you are. We praise you in your name. Amen.
All right. Well, I don't know about you. Man, that blessed me. That bless you guys? I don't know if you noticed, but God's speaking to us. I hear lots of weeping in my ear. And God's speaking to us individually, right? So this is what I want to do. I want to respect everyone's time. I ask you to stand up on your feet. I think we're going to move into a ministry time. Now, don't feel obligated to stay. If you have to go, please, after I bless you, you can go. But we're going to spend some time, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to call the prayer team to come and stand up next, you know, stand where you stand. Listen, I know that there's calling in your hearts. And I have just a really specific word. Listen, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That means God doesn't change his mind about what he called you to do. And it doesn't matter what you've been through. And it doesn't matter whether you walked away for it for a season. I walked away from my calling twice. And look at how he's restored. Just look around. God can use anybody. And he doesn't change his mind about you. So if that's you, if God's dealing with you, if you need to lay something down so that you can pick up what God's got for you, if you need fresh vision, I want you to come up here. We'll have the prayer team up here, and I'm going to have Mike and Carrie and myself and some of the lead team, if we need to, we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to speak over you and bless you. Let's stir up that gift. Let's stir up that gift. Isn't that what he told Timothy? Stir up the gift of God that's in you by the laying on of hands. So if that's you and you need that today, please don't rush out. McDonald's will be there. If you're late, you might not have to wait for a table. But this table is serving what you need right now. So come to the table, okay? If God was dealing with you, this is a point of contact. This is for such a time as this. God, I recognize that I'm holding on to some things that are keeping me from what I know you've called me to do. Come up here and let us minister to you. But if that's not you, we love you. We're believing with you and we're believing for you. But you're free to go. Don't feel the need or that you have to stay. So bow your heads with me. I'm going to bless you. And then I'll release you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you, making you look like him. And give you peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everyone said, amen. Amen. If you need ministry, please come. Just come right up to the front. Make your way up here and we'll begin to pray with you and minister to you. If that's not you, just make your way out to the back and make sure you pick up your kids as you go. We love you guys. We're believing with you and we're believing for you. You're dismissed.